This is Sunday Focus, a weekly public affairs program that looks at the topics affecting our society and the people who are making a change in the community each and every day. The people who have vision for the next generation. Sunday Focus presents new challenges for us, keeping you informed with topics of local and regional interest. Now the host of Sunday Focus, Christine Manica.
Hello and good morning. Welcome back to another edition of Sunday Focus. Do you ever wonder how events like the Summit League Tournament, the Sioux Falls Marathon, and collegiate volleyball tournaments happen in Sioux Falls? None of these primetime sporting events would be possible without the support of the Sioux Falls Sports Authority. These enhance the quality of life for the city of Sioux Falls and provide opportunities for your future athlete. With the Sioux Falls Sports Authority, everyone wins in the Sioux Empire. These sporting events create new memories and give the city a chance to shine. But it's more than just hitting the buzzer beater or crossing the finish line. It takes an entire community to make these events possible. Two brains behind the magic are here to tell us more about the Sioux Falls Sports Authority and the events they have coming up. Thomas Lee, he is the president, and Jerry Pileschi, Jerry P, I like to call him, project director. Good morning, you guys. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
It's a little early for this, Christine.
I know it's a little early for this, but I'm glad you guys are caffeinated and ready to go to talk about everything Sioux Falls Sports Authority and the major events you have coming up here. And before we get to that, why don't you tell us more about yourselves and your role with the Sioux Falls Sports Authority?
Sure. So this is Thomas. I moved here 7 years ago to be the executive director of the Sioux Falls Sports Authority. I moved here from Charlotte. I had a similar role at a convention and visitors bureau in Charlotte, and my wife is from the Midwest, and we wanted to get closer to somebody's family, and Sioux Falls opened up, and here we are. It took me a little while to get used to the winners, but I actually like the winners now. I look forward to them. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm the executive director at the Sports Authority, and Jerry will tell you who he is and what he does, but ultimately our role is to bring big sporting events here to the city, events that you wouldn't normally host unless there was an entity like ours going after them.
Yeah, awesome. Jerry, welcome.
Welcome. It's great to be here, Christine.
Thank you, Jerry. Tell us about what you do with the Sioux Falls Sports Authority.
Well, as a project director, I work hand-in-hand with Thomas to help execute these events, whichever do come to town, and the planning and the execution of them taking place. So we work hand-in-hand together to make sure that every event here is given the red carpet treatment and is given everything that it deserves to be given, and is boasting Sioux Falls. That's the biggest key out of all of it, is to put Sioux Falls on the map and continue to do so. And I think the two of us tag team together pretty good on that.
And since we are talking about sports, you guys must have a long history with athletics yourself. What were you like as an athlete? Jerry, let's start with you.
Oh, it was great in middle school football in seventh grade when I didn't know anything about actually like the actual fundamentals of playing football. I was a starter for Memorial Middle School on the west side of town because I was just big enough to where they said, hey, when the ball is snapped, just make sure nobody goes around you. And that's all I had to do. I just had to stand there for
Perfect.
The most part. That's basically the key of my athletic career. I did play some basketball and, you know, all the extra stuff, but I was never amounted to anything good. I could talk about it a lot better than what I could play. So I think that's how it all worked out.
Thomas, what about you? What's your history?
So I get this question a lot. I think a lot of people think I'm going to say D1 or D2 athlete, and that's far from the truth. I always say I was an incredibly average high school athlete. I played everything pretty decent at everything, but by no means a star. But tennis, basketball, football, baseball, and still play some of those today when my knees and ankles behave and all that good stuff. But I love sports, have always loved sports, playing it, watching it, and how thankful are we that we get to work in it.
Yeah, no kidding. What inspired you with that career in sports for both of you? Was it just playing a little bit growing up and then watching it on TV?
Probably, yeah. I've always loved it, always wanted to be involved in it. And when I graduated from West Virginia University and I moved to Charlotte, within a week, I had two job offers. One was with Enterprise Rental Car, which paid real money, or at least real entry-level money. And the other was an internship with the AAA Charlotte Knights.
Mm.
And I thought about it for 10 seconds, right? Which one years from now would I regret not taking, and it would have been baseball. So yeah. that made my decision really easily. And that internship turned into a real job that kind of paid money. Again, we're talking minor league sports, but then that got me connected with Charlotte Visitors Bureau and their sports department, and then ultimately here to Sioux Falls. So that's how my road in sports started, and I am so thankful for it.
And Jerry, I'm sure if people haven't picked up on it already, you were part of ESPN here in Sioux Falls, right here at the station, actually.
Yeah, and what a road it was to get there, because when I was a kid, I would have told you I was just going to be a weatherman. I wanted
really?
To broadcast weather. I guess I always wanted to be in some form of broadcasting at that point in time, but I realized pretty quick that in order to be in a meteorologist and involved with that type of stuff, you need to actually be somewhat decent at math, and you need to understand physics, and I'm not capable of understanding physics. So at that point in time, that idea transformed into just maybe I just go into business, right? Just something business related. And I remember being at the University of South Dakota, I had to take a class called calculus.
Oh,
and that's
gosh.
When I realized math is not my strong suit either. But in order to get into the business school, you really had to succeed at calc. It's the only class I can remember ever saying, I'm out, I'm done, dropped it, couldn't do it. And it was at that point in time I said, I've always loved sports. I always knew what I wanted to do. But it was kind of the same, you know, as Thomas brought up, where you have this crossroads of, you know, what's kind of the easier road to go down if you want to be financially successful in life. And you know what's maybe the chase the dream and you just kind of go for it type of moment. That was my moment, was sitting in calc going, I have no idea what any of this is and I don't want to do this. So let's go chase what I want to do. And it just ultimately kept on going. I became a very aggressive 20 to 23 year old trying to chase a dream, and ended up doing some sports radio here for 8 years, 9 years, whatever that it was, and just kind of continued down that road.
And you worked closely with the Sioux Falls Sports Authority, now being with them for events and this organization. Let's talk about it. How did it begin? People know the name just from going to the Sioux Falls Marathon or the Summit League, but how did it really start?
Well, and now you can answer this from, I think, two different perspectives, which is the now knowing from working there, but then also as a Sioux Falls resident and somebody that grew up in this town, is when the Sioux Falls Sports Authority as an organization started in 2006, it really was designed to try to bring some of these events to town. And really the big one at the time was the Summit League Basketball Championships, with South Dakota State and North Dakota State going Division I, and what that conference tournament would look like. Because even in Sioux Falls, it was kind of an unknown, right? You have two schools. There was a heavy debate at the time, if you go back to 2004, 2003, about those two schools even transitioning to Division I. Because if you're breaking up the Division II North Central Conference that had your SDSU, your NDSU, UND, it had South Dakota, it had Omaha, it had Augustana, it had Minnesota Duluth.
Yeah.
You're breaking that up. And when that was happening in South Dakota State, North Dakota State made that transition in Division I, the question ultimately became, like, what really comes with that? Well, what comes with that is, if you're in a conference, you win your conference tournament for basketball, you get to go to the NCAA tournament. So really, from the foundation and the crux of what the Sioux Falls Sports Authority was, it was a group of business leaders that came together that saw this kind of coming up on the horizon and said, well, what would it take to get those type of events to come to Sioux Falls, right? Because you always see like an ACC tournament that could take place in a place like, you know, Charlotte, or you see Madison Square Garden hosting one of those tournaments. But for the mid-majors, a lot of the times, if you're watching and you can still see it on in March, you can either see campus sites or you see half-empty gyms. And I think the idea was really birthed out of, what can we do as a city to look at trying to drive a big event like that into this town? And it kind of started with that back in 2006 with that idea.
Jerry, I think, knows more of the history than I do. I mean, the simple answer is some business leaders 20 years ago thought, why are Omaha and Boise and Minneapolis and some of these other cities similar to ours getting these big events, whether it's NCAA events, NAIA championships, or even Olympic trials type events? Why are they getting them and we're not? And so that's, again, how we were born. Because while the Visitors Bureau is incredible, Terry and her staff at Experience Sioux Falls excel in bringing visitors here, and they're awesome in the sports market in bringing youth tournaments here and other great events. There's an operational arm that Visitors Bureau across the country don't have, and sports commissions do. And what was realized is that these other cities that I just mentioned have a separate entity, a sports commission, that not only recruits, but also helps operate these events. And here we are 20 years later, after creating that. We've hosted now, I think we're on 16 or 17 NCAA championships, multiple NAIA basketball championships, the Summit League, of course, and our marathon, a professional boxing event. And of course, coming up that I'm sure we'll talk about is, mm-hmm. is the first ever Olympic trials here in Sioux Falls, curling.
When did you first notice that times were changing in sports for Sioux Falls? Was it a certain event? Was it an athlete that came to compete? What was it?
Jerry can answer this, probably being a lifelong Sioux Fallsian. Is that what we're called? Sioux
yeah, Fallsian? We can call it that.
When I came here for my interview from Charlotte in 2018, I didn't know much about Sioux Falls, had heard of it, of course, had even visited about 10 years prior to go pheasant hunting. But when I was given a tour of the city and I saw downtown and I saw Falls Park, and then truly I saw the Premier Center and the Pentagon, some of the parks that we're working with, I went from, maybe I would take this job, or, you know, maybe I'm interviewing them. When I saw those, like before the interview took place, now I'm getting nervous, like, oh my gosh, this is a hidden gem. I want this job. So the nervousness crept up a little bit once I saw the Premier Center and the Pentagon, because I did not think those facilities existed here. Mm. I think building those facilities from me, from an outsider looking in and now living here, that's what helped get us on the scene. Jerry can talk probably about the history of the Storm and a few other events, a few other teams that helped get us there. But, you know, you need every puzzle piece to put an event, regardless of what the event is, together. And it truly starts with the venue. If you don't have the venues, you're not going to host these big events. And those venues, to me, are the trick.
And Jerry, just like what Thomas said, you would know Sioux Falls sports culture better than anybody, just because you have seen so much change since the Sioux Falls Sports Authority started.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can remember back from being a kid, you would go to Sioux Falls Skyforce games at the Sioux Falls Arena, and they would be nearly sold out. 6,000-something people there on a, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday night to catch a game. And that doesn't necessarily happen as much anymore. And now the Skyforce are at the Sanford Pentagon, which is a perfect venue for them. But you look at the Stampede, when they started, not even having a full-size ice rink that you could fit in the Sioux Falls Arena. For those that didn't know that ice rink was never full-size for what they needed. It was always short on the end lines. But Sioux Falls Storm, when they were playing inside, that was not a full football or indoor football field either. So when you take a look at some of those, and Sioux Falls has always supported the minor league professional sports that we had, whether it's the Canaries, the Skyforce, Stampede, the Storm when they were here. But there was always this wanting more. And you asked about different moments and times. Mm-hmm. Well, one of them, I think, is when you go to the very first Summit League basketball tournament and you had the 7-seeded South Dakota State Jackrabbit women win the tournament, and they immediately went to the NCAA tournament. And as much as it pains me to say that as a USD grad and somebody that is very closely tied in with the University of South Dakota, it's just, you can't deny the fact that they were the first ones to go. But when they went, and on Selection Sunday, or in that case, it was Selection Monday for the women, and their name gets pulled, and then they're traveling to go into the big tournament, that just took everything kind of to a whole different idea and level. Because again, this organization, the Sioux Falls Sports Authority, was really built on what could be, right? And that was kind of the moment of the realization, I think, for this town of, oh, wow, this can be. And you start looking at the success of what that tournament was and has been throughout the course of the years. It really helped in getting the Denny Sanford Premier Center built, because what people don't know or necessarily remember off of that is that vote was tight. That went to a public vote, and there was basically three different sections. There was the people that said, yes, build it, no matter, I don't care where it is, we just need something, we need some form of big facility, we need to move into the next century. There was the absolutely not, my taxpayer money is not going to anything that's going to do anything with this, with the city. And then there was a third group that said, if you're not building it downtown, we want nothing to do with it. Ultimately, it prevailed, and it did get built, of course, and that's where we're at today. And just by even building that, that's opened the door to many other opportunities, one of which, to point out, that the Sioux Falls Sports Authority was key in bringing in, was a Division I women's basketball regional that took place here at the Denny Sanford Premier Center that featured the likes of South Carolina, Ohio State, Tennessee. You had Dawn Staley in this town.
Yeah.
And bringing her number one rated South Carolina Gamecocks into Sioux Falls. And the key to all of this is, if you remember, if you can recall this, she was not happy about it.
No.
She was not happy one bit when they got the selection and she was being sent to Sioux Falls as like the number one overall seed. What happened after, though? She was treated so well here and mm-hmm. people embraced that regional so much that as soon as it got done, she didn't necessarily, I guess, issue an apology, but she said, I'd go to Sioux Falls anytime and would do anything, you know, play games there. And guess what? They did. They came back and they were playing games at the Sanford Pentagon, and they were doing that in their non-conference slate. It wasn't because they were forced to. She's a proponent of Sioux Falls basketball and really just Sioux Falls in general. So that's the type of things that Thomas and I, we always aim for, is when we have these opportunities to host the events like NCAA hockey, for example, or the D2 volleyball championships, USA curling, bringing the US Olympic trials here with the Olympic and Paralympic committee. We want to have them leave those events going, we need to go back. And that's ultimately our biggest goal. Whenever we host a big event, is what can we do to make them say Sioux Falls is the place?
A chain reaction that started the big sports boom here in the Sioux Empire. We're talking about the Sioux Falls Sports Authority. Thomas Lee, Jerry Pileschi joining us. So before we get into other events, we do have to talk about the U.S. curling event. I want to know how this conversation even started to bring an Olympic team sport here to Sioux Falls.
So a couple years ago, Kurt Sale, who is a city councilman and also a board member of the Sioux Falls Sports Authority. He's big into curling, has played for years and years, member of the Sioux Falls Curling Club. He's on our board. He texted me a screenshot of, it must have been a Twitter or a tweet or whatever it is, USA Curling, saying that their RFP, their request for proposal, has gone out for the 2025 Olympic trials. And he sent that to me, right, as some board members do, saying, hey, what do you think about this? Let's go after this, or let's think about this. And I saw that, and I immediately said, let's try. Let's go for this one. So I called curling and really set up a meeting. I wanted to take a few other people, but because of scheduling conflicts, it ended up just being me going up to Minnesota, Eagan, Minnesota, near Minneapolis, to have a meeting with them to talk about us here in Sioux Falls, who has never hosted a USA curling event, hosting their Super Bowl, hosting their trials. And within the first minute or so, they start immediately talking about, well, maybe we should try to host something smaller, work our way up to the trials, whether it's 4 years from now or 8 years from now. And I said, yes, we will host smaller things too. But I just drove 4 hours to talk about the trials. That's what you currently have open for bid. Let's talk about that. Let me tell you why Sioux Falls can host this. And for the next 2.5 hours, they never once brought up hosting a smaller event. Once they realized and saw me talking about the Premier Center, what this community can do, the hotel packages, the hotels that we have, they never once brought up a smaller event for us to host. And then a couple months later, we put our bid forward, got down to the final three cities. They did a site visit here. You know, we're talking 4 or 5 months later after my initial visit with them, but they did a site visit here. It was February of 23, minus 40 degrees. It was awful. It's not the weather you want to showcase a city to, but we were able to showcase the Premier Center and a couple of the hotels and downtown, and they stayed at a hotel on Phillips. It was awesome. It was a great site visit, and they left here saying, he's right, we can do that. And here we are. We, you know, a little less than 2 years later, we're hosting a trials here in less than 2 weeks. And how exciting.
It's very exciting. I mean, would you say that they came in with like misconceptions about Sioux Falls? What do you think about that?
I always think that's 100% easy to say.
Yeah.
It is. It's just, you hear Sioux Falls, you hear South Dakota, and then, you know, as Thomas said, one of the hurdles that we had to jump through on that site visit was that it was deadly cold out that day. And funny story is that the USA Curling GM that was on that site visit actually asked Thomas to pick him up at the hotel to take him to dinner, which was about a block and a half away. But, you know, you do is what you do. And it's going to be a big time event, big time opportunity. And I think when we get done with that, I think after they have their experience in the Premier Center as well, and they get through this nearly week and a half long event, then they're going to leave happy.
So what can they expect here in Sioux Falls during that week and a half long event for the U.S. Curling?
I think they're going to have a lot of people that are just from Sioux Falls, of course, and the surrounding areas that are curious and want to go out and see it. And we see that at many different events where this community really supports and rallies around events that come to this town that are unique and different. And I think curling is definitely one of them, because one of the things that we've talked about over the years, especially when we were looking at bidding on this, was what is it about curling every single Winter Olympics that just draws everybody in, right?
Right.
It's like not everybody understands the rules. Not everybody understands exactly what's going on, what the particulars are with the house. They call things the stone. There's just so many different vocab terms and words that we've even learned over the last couple of years. But for some reason, it's just one sport that when the Winter Olympics takes place, people tune in. And it's just out of curiosity of how exactly does this work. So to bring that into the community, I think we're going to have quite a few people that say, hey, this looks like fun. It's an affordable event. And that was purposely designed by Thomas and myself in our discussions with USA Curling. And the approach to this was to say, let's make it so families can bring out the entire crew and they can have a night out, and they can do so for not burning a hole in their wallet,
yeah.
Which it seems like, you know, no matter what you do nowadays, I got a family of four. And if you try to go to a movie, it's going to run you, you know, $60 or close to $100 if you have to buy about three sets of popcorn. But we wanted to make it to where a family of four, family of five can go out and do have an affordable night out and enjoy it and do something that's different. And I think mixing all of that together and just the idea that it's an Olympic trial in Sioux Falls, I think it's going to pay off pretty good.
And not to mention, these athletes, they're coming from across the country, right? Just here in Sioux Falls alone. How amazing is it to showcase Sioux Falls like that?
It's awesome. It really is cool to have the best curlers in the country here in Sioux Falls. We're going to be on the NBC networks. I think it's NBC, literally NBC or NBC Sports Network, but then also streaming on Peacock. So again, there's couple different pieces to this puzzle. It's the event for the community is amazing, right? We're bringing the trials here, but then the reward for Sioux Falls is we get to be shown on national TV and Peacock of what this city is. So I love that the event is here, but then I'm going to love that B-roll that's playing on these events, on these channels as well. So, you know, we're doing our part, and we can't wait for USA Curling to be here and the community to do their part and show up for this event.
And that's not the only big event you guys have coming up too. What else do you have? I know the Summit League tournament, it's coming.
Yeah, it is coming. So we've got seven events that we either host or help with in the next 7 months, or now it's 6 months. We just hosted our marathon in September. We've got our curling event, the trials coming up. We have a professional boxing gala that we've created. It's kind of a quasi black tie professional boxing event we host at the district. It's a really fun, unique event. And then in March, we're busy. We certainly help with the Summit League and their basketball championships. And then soon after that, we've got D2 wrestling at the Premier Center, and that's the championship. And then a D1 hockey regional also at the Premier Center. So we've got our hands full, and we are juggling in the office. We're on meetings with each of these entities to talk about that upcoming event. And sometimes we have to, like, you know, Jerry and I need to recap and say, wait, that meeting, you know, we talked about that in that meeting and that in that meeting. And we have to truly stay organized on all these planning calls.
And with these big events coming up, you need a lot of support. I mean, talk about the work that goes into each of these events.
Yeah, it's again, it all starts as we're meeting months in advance. I mean, we've been on calls with USA Curling and the US Olympic and Paralympic Committee dating back to January, February, just going over every single detail. The NCAA, we're in the middle of, you know, three different sets of calls with them because we host the Division II Volleyball Championship in December. And that one is one that wasn't even originally on our schedule. And this is just to go to show what Sioux Falls can do, is that last year we hosted that event and that was originally awarded to us, the 2024 Division II National Championship for Women's Volleyball. And we hosted that at the Sanford Pentagon and things went just phenomenal. It was great. But our championship game also featured San Francisco State out of California and then Lynn University out of Florida. So we were the perfect, I guess, middle ground, if you will,
sure,
from the country in order to host that championship. But we had a quick dinner meeting with the committee, the NCAA committee, after our event concluded. We took them out for supper and they started a conversation about how they weren't really sure where they were going in 2025. There was a little bit of a venue issue for where they were supposed to go in 2025. So we kind of struck up a conversation and said, well, I think this went pretty well. Should we just run it back? And it just kind of evolved from there. And they ultimately decided, yeah, let's do it again. And that's how we were awarded 2025, was just off of what we just did. And then the conversation that took place right after. So, but in terms of juggling all those, it is a lot, because what people don't realize is just the amount of stuff that even gets sent to you. When we host an NCAA event, there's, you know, all the different sponsors, whether it's like Powerade and Coke, you know, they provide all of the different drinks and hydration for all of the athletes. So they send all of that product. You have all the different signage and all the different banners. When you come out to U.S. The Olympic curling trials, for example, the Premier Center is going to look way different, because not only will you have five sheets of ice for curling on the floor instead of just a hockey rink, when you look around the bowl, you're going to see different signage. It's all decked out as if curling full out takes that over. And the United States Olympic Committee, they fully decked that out in the way that they want it set up, for it's presentable on TV. And you know, every event is different in that mm-hmm. way. Every event has its own different intricacies that you plan for and you make happen, and it dresses everything up really nice.
It takes a village, literally, to put events like this together. The Sioux Falls Sports Authority, we have Thomas Lee and Jerry Pelleschi on with us. Now, I like this sentence on the website. Sioux Falls, your destination for unforgettable sports experiences. Now, with all these events coming up, and even looking back a little bit in time, what does this mean for you guys? What does that one line say about Sioux Falls?
It says that, as in my opinion, this is just, it's one of the greatest cities in the world, because you don't know what you have until you come and you see it, right? So I think for me, and in terms of making the unforgettable experience, it kind of goes back to what I talked about before, where we're always rolling out the red carpet. And that's how this community embraces different sporting events and really embraces almost any event that takes place here. Anything that's new, that's unique, this community rallies around. And I think for a lot of people, when they come here, it's kind of that Don Staley mindset of, I get to go to Sioux Falls. And then when they're here and they see what this community has, whether it's the art scene, whether it's the restaurants, Falls Park in itself, the Parks and Recs department, just the way this city is, and then the way the events go, and the way people embrace mm-hmm. it, you truly leave with just a different mindset. And I think that's a lot of where that line goes into. It's, this is the type of place, and I've always joked with Thomas about it, is Thomas, I don't know if he was ever considered a Sioux Falls lifer when he moved here, but I think if you were to ask him right now, without putting words in his mouth, this is a community for him and his family that would be very tough for him to leave. And I think that's just what this place does to people. I went to college and I ended up back in Sioux Falls, because you quickly realize this place is wonderful and it's great. And it's a perfect place to raise a family. You get everything that you could ever want out of this place. And when we bring big time sporting events like this, it kind of fills the void for not having a Minnesota Vikings in South Dakota.
That's okay. But we don't need the Vikings,
you know,
here.
Just saying, it's you have the opportunity to still see some of the best, you know, sporting events that can be offered, and they can happen right here in your backyard.
If I had a crystal ball and you can see Sioux Falls 10 years from now, what does sports in Sioux Falls look like?
I don't know. We're constantly thinking about that. But before Kurt sent that text about curling, we didn't know we'd be hosting a curling trials, right? So we never know what, and I say this like because it's a blank canvas. We don't know what RFP we're going to see next. We don't know what event we're going to bid after next. But we're going to keep bidding after events. So 10 years from now, I can't say we're going to have a bowl game, Jerry. I don't think I don't think we're going to host a January bowl game. I doubt we're going to have a professional NBA or NFL team. So if I kept it on what events we're going to keep hosting, it'll be the marathon, it'll be boxing, it'll hopefully be keeping or doing our part to keep the Summit League Basketball Championships here. We hope all those events stay here forever and ever. And then meanwhile, we're going to sprinkle in a a curling trials or an NCAA D1 or D2 championship and see if we can't keep not just hosting these events, but going after more and building that resume for the Sports Authority, but ultimately our community.
Thomas Lee, Jerry Pileschi, Sioux Falls Sports Authority. If anybody has any questions about events coming up, where they can get tickets, what is a good website to check out for you guys?
Yeah, you can just go to our website. It's sfsportsauthority.org.
Sunday Focus is a public affairs program of Results Radio, Town Square Media, Sioux Falls.